everyone. This is Ula Reeves with Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. We're just going to hold the line here and get started in a few minutes. If you're just coming on the call, if you could announce yourself, that would be great.
Hey, Sally Smith, WRAL-TV in Raleigh.
Great. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Lori Wynn with the Carteret County News Times.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for joining. This is Ula Reeves. We're just going to wait for folks to join the call, and we'll get started in a bit.
Okay, great.
Evan Lehman.
Hi, Evan. Which station are you with, or paper?
I'm with Climate Wire.
Climate Wire. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
We're just going to hold the line here while we get everybody gathered. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. We have a few folks who are having some trouble with the line, so we're just hoping it'll resolve itself here.
Tony Reale, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Ula.
Okay, we've got a couple folks on the line already, and for those of you who don't have a mute on your own phone, you can hit *6.
Hi, this is Toby Tate from the Daily Advance in Elizabeth City.
Hi, Toby. Thanks for joining.
Hey. Who am I speaking to?
This is Ula Reeves with Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and we're just holding the line. We've got some other reporters already with us, and we're just going to wait a few minutes and gather as many folks as we can before we get started.
Okay, great.
And if you need to mute your phone, you can hit *6.
Okay.
Did anyone else join us?
I guess that's it, huh?
Sorry, did someone have a question?
I guess not.
Okay. I thought I heard somebody. Okay, we'll just give it one more minute here.
how do you spell your name? Man.
Sorry, is that to me?
Yeah, how do you spell your name?
My name is Ulla, U-L-L-A.
Okay.
Last name is Reeves, R-E-E, V as in Victor, E-S.
Okay. And what is your title again?
I'm the Regional Program Director for Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And we'll also have Tony Reale, that's T-O-N-I, and then Reale is R-E-A-L-E. She's our Coastal Climate Coordinator, who will be speaking as well today.
Okay, R-E-A-L-E, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. If anyone else beeps in, we'll just catch them up, and I wanted to welcome everybody today. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to join us for this press conference. We are featuring a number of North Carolina coastal citizens who have traveled up to D.C. to meet with their congressional representatives and the Senators Hagan and Burr about climate and energy issues. This is a very important time to be bringing local messages to Capitol Hill, and we're pleased to have a wonderful crew with us today. And again, just a little housekeeping, this conference call is being recorded, and to mute your lines, please press star 6, and we will have a question and answer period after a few brief statements from the folks who are with us in D.C. today. And without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Tony Reale, and then she'll turn it over to the other folks as well.
Great. Thanks, Ulla. Hello, and thank you all for joining us today. Again, my name is Tony Reale, and I am the Coastal Climate Coordinator for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. We are a regional nonprofit organization working in North Carolina and all throughout the Southeast to promote responsible energy choices that create global warming solutions. As many of you know, North Carolina relies on its 300 miles of coastline as a primary economic engine of tourism and recreation, yet these unique natural and historic resources are particularly vulnerable to the threats of climate change, from rising seas to stronger storms. Human-induced global warming is one of the most serious and urgent challenges of our time, negatively impacting our health, economy, national security, and environment. North Carolina simply cannot afford to ignore the needs to address climate change. I have with me here today business owners, decision makers, and academics of coastal North Carolina who have taken time out of their busy lives to travel to our nation's capital to carry a message of urgency to act on climate change and transform how we produce and consume energy in this country. They're bringing this message to Senators Kay Hagan, Senator Richard Burr, Congressman Jones, and McIntyre. So without any further delay, I'd like to turn to our guests who will each introduce themselves and offer a brief statement. First, I'd like to introduce Renee Cahoon. She's the mayor of the town of Nag's Head. Renee?
Good afternoon. Thank you. Yes, I felt it was extremely important to come up today to talk with our legislators because Nag's Head is on the cusp of global warming and climate change. The sea level rise that we've experienced in our community has had a direct impact on tax-based loss, lower property values, municipal services, and maintenance of infrastructure. So I think it's very important that we start dealing with the issue that we can't ignore because we see the impact on a daily basis.
Thanks, Renee. I'd like to turn it over to Aubrey Davis. He's the owner of the Outer Banks Brewing Station in Kill-Devil Hills.
Thanks. Good afternoon. I own the Outer Banks Brewing Station in Kill-Devil Hills, the first wind-powered restaurant or brewery in the country, and feel very strong about everything that we've gone over today and meeting with these representatives. I'd like to see the different counties in North Carolina make it easier for people to come in with renewable energy solutions, whether it be wind, solar. There are a lot of zoning laws out there that make it hard, if not impossible, to put these technologies to use. We are on the Outer Banks. We have 2 wind turbines right now, and we hopefully will have about 8 in the next 12 months. I think it's something that the people that come down, not just the local people, but tourists alike, I think it's been a, it's certainly helped our business. It's certainly helped, I think, tourism. People come down, they see it, and they get excited about it. So I hope we can make the laws easier for other people to do just what we've done. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Doug Gamble, Professor of Geography, University of North Carolina, Wilmington.
Yes, I'm up here as a resident of Wilmington, coastal town, and also as a climate scientist. And what the message that we're bringing to the congressman is that all scientific evidence points to that global average temperature is rising and will continue to rise in the future, and that sea level is rising with this and will continue to rise in the future. And we're expecting at least 2 feet of sea level by year in about 100 years. And the rates that have been measured are starting to, it looks like they're going to be faster than the projections. So that 2 feet is a conservative estimate. So we already live in a vulnerable landscape that has a lot of high risk due to storm surge, coastal erosion, etc. This is going to be another layer of vulnerability and risk that's going to be on top of that and induced by the sea level rise. And one of the best ways to mitigate that sea level rise is going to be through clean energy alternatives.
Thank you, Dr. Gamble. I'd like to introduce, lastly, Dr. Chris Smith. He's a professor of economics at UNCW.
Hello, my name is Dr. Chris Dumas. I'm a professor of economics at UNC Wilmington. I'm a Wilmington native. I grew up in Wilmington, and I've been teaching at UNC Wilmington for the last 11 years. My field is coastal economics. I do research on coastal tourism and erosion control, hurricane impacts, water quality, and fisheries. And you might wonder, with estimates looking at potential costs of dealing with climate change, what are the benefits? Well, the main benefits are that they would prevent larger costs in the future. There have been some studies that have been done looking at that in North Carolina. I was part of a study that was done jointly with East Carolina University and Appalachian State University looking at the potential economic impacts of climate change in coastal North Carolina. This study came out in 2007, and we estimated more than $6 billion of impacts to coastal property if sea level rise increases as projected using conservative estimates of sea level rise. So that's a minimum figure, $6 billion. Also, there would be losses to beach tourism and recreation value. We are looking at, 30 to 50 years out from now, losses on the order of $230 million a year in reduced recreation value. And we're looking at reduced coastal recreation spending of perhaps up to 48 or 50% due to fewer beaches being available and those beaches being in poorer condition. So the potential impacts of sea level rise and climate change in North Carolina at projected levels could be significant indeed. Now, there's also been some work looking at what North Carolina could potentially do to mitigate or adapt to these potential changes. There's been some great work done with the North Carolina Legislative Commission on Climate Change over the last 4 or 5 years, bringing in experts from around the country and indeed around the world, looking at what we might do to reduce North Carolina's contribution to global warming and what we might do to adapt to it and mitigate its negative effects. One of the interesting things coming out of one of those studies by the Climate Action Plan Advisory Group that advised the Legislative Commission was that they looked at potential activities North Carolina could do to reduce its global greenhouse gas emissions. And they looked at, came up with a list of 56 options for North Carolina. And some of these options are costly. Some produce net benefits by increasing our efficiency. Looking at just the options for the energy sector in North Carolina and the transportation sector, the study found that we could reduce our greenhouse emissions by approximately 30 to 40% 20 years from now with a series of actions that would actually save the state $5 billion on a net basis. So it would cost us some money to implement these changes in energy and transportation infrastructure, but through increases in efficiency, we would save more money than it would cost us. And at the same time, we would be reducing our state's contribution to the greenhouse gases as part of our state's contribution to perhaps a larger national or global effort to combat climate change. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Dumas. I would like to just tell everyone who has joined us today a little bit about our day. This morning we met with Congressman Jones' staffer, Bradley Ryan. We did get a chance to meet the congressman on his way out to take a vote. We have also met with Congressman McIntyre today, and this afternoon we're meeting with Senators Hagan and Burr. Yesterday we had the pleasure of Erica Ramjohn, the Regional Entrepreneurship Coordinator of the River City Community Development Corporation, join us yesterday. She's from Elizabeth City and is working with green business owners all throughout the five counties surrounding Elizabeth City. She's also working with Elizabeth City State University to get training programs into that university and train people for green jobs that are really the future in North Carolina. So we have taken pictures today with the folks we've met. We've got lots of great reports, and so if anybody on the line is interested in anything like that, feel free to follow up with me today. My cell phone number is 843-364-1796, and we are happy to take any questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any questions? And remember, *6 to unmute your line.
This is Toby Tate with the Daily Advance in Elizabeth City.
Go ahead, Toby.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask some of the business owners, especially on the Outer Banks, how the green jobs is going to affect their particular business.
Toby, I think some folks had trouble hearing you. So the question was how the green jobs are affecting business in Elizabeth City?
Or their business in the Outer Banks. I think there was a businessman from the Outer Banks, the brewery, I think.
Yes, Aubrey.
Yes.
Okay. Tony, did you all hear the question?
Yes, thank you.
If you're asking, has it helped our business, as far as what we've done, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We fought the town for 5.5 years, so it didn't come easily.
I mean, how specifically has it, do you think it's helped?
Well, since we put it in, there's two tax credits out there now that total 55%, which certainly helps with the initial upfront cost of the system. It saves us about $200 a month in electricity. Everything that it produces, we use in the building because even at night, we have so much heating and cooling in the brewery and in the kitchen that we could never produce more than we're using.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say, too, is, and I couldn't put a dollar figure on it if you pointed a gun at me, and I don't even think I could get the right number of zeros, but what it's done for us, you can see it about 2 miles in either direction coming down the road. We've had so many people stop in. People from other states, mostly people from other states, and it's been an incredible icebreaker. Conversations have popped out. People want to know why there aren't more. Like, since we're only about a half a mile from where the Wright brothers first flew, of course they were there because of the wind.
Right.
I can't even begin to guess what it's done for us as far as PR, as advertising. But it's significant.
Okay.
Great, thank you, Aubrey. And Dr. Dumas, did you have a response as well?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'd also like to mention there have been some studies looking at the potential increase in jobs that could come about from increased production of green-related energy sector equipment. And the one recent study was a supply chain analysis of the green manufacturing sector in all 50 states. They looked at how many jobs might be created by increased production of wind power equipment, solar power equipment, geothermal, and biomass equipment. looking at the production of these things and also jobs associated with operating these devices if they were installed. And actually, North Carolina came out in the top 10 in terms of states, in terms of number of jobs that could potentially be created from these industries. And the estimate was looking at potentially 30,000 jobs in North Carolina in the manufacturing sector. So we've got you know, a good manufacturing base in North Carolina, some good workers who have experience in textiles and the wood industry, furniture industry, other places. And these could, these new industries could offer employment for these folks who have good manufacturing skills.
What period of time, what time frame are we talking about here for 30,000 jobs? I mean, is this in the next couple of years or?
Over the next 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Cumulatively added up over those years.
Great. Thanks for your questions, Toby. Do we have any other questions?
Hi, this is Evan Lehman with Climate Wire in Washington. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, Evan. Go ahead. Cool.
Can you tell me what the response so far has been by your senators and your congresspeople?
Sure. Hi, Evan. This is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hi. Yes, we actually went to see Senator Kay Hagan yesterday during her Carolina coffee, and her response was incredible. She's very much on board with moving forward with climate and energy legislation that will help bring jobs to North Carolina. She's been very supportive. I think at our meetings today with Congressman McIntyre, he was really open to hearing the messages that the folks that we brought up were bringing. And also, Congressman Jones's office was also open to the possibility of moving forward with climate and energy legislation, hopefully next year. So far, it's been a really great response.
Senator Burr, though, probably is not likely to vote yes on the climate bill. Do you expect to be able to turn him around?
Well, we are going to meet with his office later this afternoon. I would just like to say, though, although we've had positive responses in the offices, we have zero commitments yet on anybody that was for sure vote for a climate bill in the Senate or when it goes back to the House to vote in favor of such a bill.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for the question, Evan. Do we have other questions?
Yes, this is Sally Smith of WRL-TV.
Go ahead, Sally.
Checking in, this is a question for Dr. Dumas. The list of 56 options for North Carolina that could reduce greenhouse emissions by 30 to 40% over the next 20 years, what are some of the most popular options there?
Right, the most popular options involve improving the efficiency of our energy production sector, so installing more efficient production equipment for example, our power plants in the state, and also to public transportation infrastructure projects, changes in highways and bridges and traffic flow that would improve traffic flow, move cars through more quickly, reduce congestion and traffic jams that would reduce our overall greenhouse gas emissions. So it's a very good detailed study. It's available on the internet on the NC Legislative Commission Climate Change website, and we can send that to you if you're interested. The study was done by the Climate Action Plan Advisory Group for the Legislative Commission and details all of the different options, all the different engineering options. In many different sectors beyond energy and transportation, those were just two sectors that gave the strongest sort of bang for the buck in terms of greenhouse gas emissions per dollar. But they also looked at all the other sectors of the economy, agriculture, forestry, timber, wholesaling, distribution, all kinds of things.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for the question, Sally. Do we have any other questions?
This is Chris Dumas again. I'd like just to make one further comment. There's a new study that's just getting underway in the state of North Carolina
that the North Carolina Division of Emergency Management is overseeing. It's going to involve several consulting firms and academics from around the state looking at the issue of sea level climate change and sea level rise and how it might affect the state. This is a large study. It's being funded by the Department of Homeland Security as a homeland security issue. Climate change and sea level rise is a homeland security issue. And so we're looking forward to the results of that study. I'll be involved with that along with many other colleagues from the universities around North Carolina. We're looking forward to the results of that study at the end of 2010. So that might provide some additional updated information for us on these issues.
Great, thank you. Okay, well, if we don't have any further questions, we can go ahead and wrap up. We just pause for a minute and make sure that there aren't any final questions here.
Hey, this is Toby again from Daily Advance.
Sure, go ahead, Toby.
Where will we be able to get a copy of this recording if we need to get one later on?
Well, that's an excellent question. I believe that we will be able to put this up on our website. I need to double check with the formatting and find out how quickly we can do that, but I can certainly follow up with you, Toby, as soon as I am confident of where exactly to get it, and I'd be happy to email this back around.
Okay.
To everyone who joined the call. Toby, I'm not sure that I have your direct email. I was in touch with Julian Ure.
Right. Okay.
What is your email address?
Okay, it's T, as in Toby, Tate,
okay.
T-A-T-E, at coxnc.com. That's coxnc.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. We'll make sure to follow up with you on that. And also, Toby, if you wanted to follow up directly with Erica Ramjohn, because she was in D.C. yesterday. We had hoped that she would join us today. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out, but I'm sure she would be willing to talk with you further if you'd like that.
Sure, I know her. I can give her a call.
Okay, super. Great.
Also, Erica Ramjohn, we met with Congressman Butterfield yesterday, so when you follow up with her, you can ask her about a very positive meeting we had with him, so you can follow up with her about that if you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Tony, and do you want to give your cell phone one more time if any of these folks want to follow up directly with you while you're there with folks in D.C.?
Sure, absolutely. That number is 843-364-1796. And we have two more meetings to go to today. We're going to meet with Senator Burr's staff and Senator Kay Hagan later this afternoon. So feel free to give me a call if you'd like to get any information about those meetings afterwards. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you all so much. Again, I really appreciate everyone taking the time out of their days to join this press conference call, and in particular, a big thank you to all of you who traveled to D.C. for this important time to meet with your congressional folks and the senators. This is really an excellent showing, and we're very grateful for all of you. So thank you again, and if any of the media on the call doesn't get a hold of Tony, feel free to give me, again, this is Ula, a call at 828-713-7486. Thanks a lot. We'll sign off now.